move forward and do something new. And God is trying to raise a new anointing up. And we're going to be reading Exodus chapter 1. If you can stand, please stand with me. We're going to read verses 9 through 16. Amen. Exodus chapter 1, verses 9 through 16. Amen. And it reads, amen, I'm sorry. Let me slow down. Everybody has to say amen.
Amen.
Anybody don't got it, say amen. Y'all just want to say amen. Thank y'all for being an amen. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our army of enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens, and they built for Pharaoh treasure cities in Pithom and Ramses. But the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew, and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor, and they made their lives bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick, and in all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, which the name of the one was Shiphrah and the other Puah. And he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them upon the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. And tonight we're going to deal from the subject, your anointing comes with an attempted murder.
All right.
Your anointing comes with an attempted murder. You may be seated. Father God, we come before you right now, Lord, just thanking you, O God, for your word, O God, thanking you for your power. We just pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will completely decrease me, O God, that everything that I have been studying, O God, and everything that you have been revealing unto me be spoken on today, God. Whatever you don't want spoken, Lord, remove from my mind, O God. Just let your spirit have free reign, O God. Touch every person today, Lord. Break up anything that might be trying to hinder us from receiving your word on tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Your anointing comes with an attempted murder. To set the stage for what we are going to deal with tonight, there's one thing that we need to understand just from the rip, and that is that the devil has peeked into your purpose. The devil has peeked into your capability. He has peeked into your anointing, into the ministry that God has placed inside of you. He knows every word of promise that God has on your life. And understand this, he believes them all wholeheartedly. In fact, the enemy believes in your anointing and in the promises that are on your life more than you do. So when he sees that, or sees what you are capable of, is detrimental to his mission, you then become a part of his mission. Because if you are anointed to break yokes, the yokes you are going to be breaking are his. If you are anointed to deliver people, the people that you are delivering are people that he had captive. If you are anointed to heal people, those are people that he wanted sick. So when he sees your capability and he sees what you're anointed to do, he wages an all-out war on you because of your anointing. When I first started preaching years ago, I believe 2006, I talked to my pastor about this back then, my life would just go into shambles. And then pastor would come to me and tell me he needed me to preach. And every single time I had to preach, my life would just go into certain turmoil. And I would begin to pray, God, speak to me. And how God would speak to me would be in the form of preparing this message. So for every message, whatever it dealt with, I had to go through it first. My life was completely intertwined with my anointing and completely intertwined into my messages. So much to a point in, I believe, 2008, my sister's best friend, Sister Nini, here, she went into the hospital to have a baby, and she had a bunch of complications. And she was really sick, and the doctor said, you know, this is the most sick individual in the hospital. It's not really looking good. And, you know, we're a believing church. We're a praying church. We believe in the healing, and we're praying. We're believing that God is going to just raise her up because God is just awesome. I was assigned to preach. And the word God gave me to preach was, when God says no. And I preached the word because this is what God tells me to preach. And I'm leaving, and my sister had a little attitude with me. She said, why would you preach that? Knowing she in the hospital, and we're believing that she's going to be healed, and you talking about God saying no. I'm like, I wasn't thinking about it. You know, this is what God tells me to preach. I'm just going to preach. And that Wednesday, she went home to be with the Lord. And to just think about everything I had to deal with just to preach, I wanted to quit. I wanted to give up. If this is what I got to go through to bring a word, then I don't want to bring a word.
Come on,
God, you can have this anointing. God, you can have everything that I've learned. You can take all this knowledge back. I don't want to deal with any of this because I don't want to have to go through just to preach. You can send me a letter. I will read it word for word. I don't want to go through this. But as I begin to mature, I was able to see that 7 years ago, Satan was able to see DSM 20 years from now. And if he could have got me to quit then we would not be here today. If he could have got me to quit then the people that I affect today would not be affected. The people whose purpose I'm bringing out would never have been brought out if I just would have quit. The attacks on my life were attacks on my anointing. And it was an attempted murder on me all because of my anointing. Deuce reminded me of this the other night, one time I was talking, and a lot of times, you know, when I preach, because I do a lot of studying, so I be, you know, sometimes I get a little deep, and, you know, I talk about certain things, and people be like, you know, I want to know the word like you know the word. I said, no, you don't. You don't want to start a business and lose every single dollar that you have to read every scripture on restoration. You don't want to be as lonely as I've been lonely to where I had to read every verse on comfort. You don't want to be broke how I've been broke so I read every single verse. You don't want my anointing. You don't want my anointing. Now, you might be anointed to preach and you're not preaching yet, or maybe you're anointed to do something else and you haven't been able to tie what's been going on in your life with your anointing, and you're just trying to figure out how you decided to do everything right, and all of a sudden there's trials and there's tribulation and there's so much pain and there's so much hurt and you just don't understand what's going on. But I'm letting you know that your anointing comes with an attempted murder. The greater the attacks the devil sends on you shows you the greater of your anointing. In basketball, I always played basketball. I was always somebody on a team couldn't shoot. If he couldn't shoot, you know what we did? Let him shoot. Pay him no mind. Because he can't do nothing for his team, nothing to harm us, because he has no ability. But if there was somebody who could shoot, not only would we not guard him, but there would be somebody to guard him before he even got the ball. Because we don't even want him to have a ball in his hand. You see, the attack that the enemy has on you is because he knows what you can do. So he's trying to keep you from getting there before you even get there. Because he understands if you get the ball, it might be damaged for me. So this is why these attacks are happening in your life, because of your anointing. When the disciples are on the Sea of Galilee in the storm, when Jesus says, peace be still, I learned from Dr. Waller, he says, the disciples found themselves in a storm solely because they followed Jesus. Jesus told them, get in this ship. They got in the ship and found themselves in a storm that they thought would kill them. But after the storm, they get on the other side of the Gadarenes and they come into a man who is possessed with demons. And he gets healed. After they meet him, they find a woman that has the issue of blood. And she gets healed. After that, Jairus' daughter is dead and she was raised back to life. But had they quit in the storm, the man would not have been delivered. The woman would not have got healed. And the little girl would not have been raised back to life. It was their anointing of what they were getting ready to do as what the enemy was trying to stop. The storm was not intended to kill the disciples. It was intended to keep that man in the tomb. It was intended to keep that woman bleeding. It was intended to keep that child from being alive. That's why the storm happened. Because the enemy understands, if I can just keep the men bound, the women will have to overexert themselves and they will bleed. And if they bleed, then the children won't have life. So if I can just stop your anointing, I can stop a whole generation. I can stop the next generation if I stop your anointing. Think it not strange, brothers and sisters, concerning these fiery darts that are to try you. This is just what happens because of your anointing. Hallelujah. The storms in your life are not about you, but they are about what you're anointed to do. This thing ain't about us. This thing is about the purpose and the calling that's on our life. And that is what the enemy does not want. The enemy does not want us to go into a new generation. The enemy does not want us to go into a new anointing. Because if we take a new anointing to this new generation, then he's going to lose the hold that is on this generation right now. But God is saying, that is not so. I'm going to raise up some people who are going to endure. I'm going to raise up some people who are not going to worry about the attack on their life. I'm going to raise up some people that don't believe in me no matter what. And I'm going to show myself through them. Hallelujah. I wish we could all just look back over our life and see everything that we went through. And stop complaining, but realize that the enemy was not able to do what he wanted to do. See, the enemy was trying to quench your light. The enemy was trying to stop your anointing. The enemy was trying to kill you, but all he did was try. See, that should be a shout right there. That should be a shout. All he did was try. See, that's how we really get to understand the meaning of no weapon formed against us shall prosper. You see, we have this false ideology that no weapon formed against us shall prosper means we're somewhere in a bubble and nothing, no way can help hurt us. No, no weapon formed against us shall prosper means that the gun is drawn, it's pointed in your face, the trigger is pulled, the bullet comes out, but God blocks it. Yes, sir. Understand what attempted murder means. Attempted murder means it is my intention to kill you, but I did not succeed. Then we get to understand Psalms 150. You get like David and you realize all the attacks on your life, but you're still breathing. So you make a shout and say, let everything that has breath. When you realize the attacks on your life, but you're still alive, you understand there's a praise in that. And the fact that the enemy did not take you out or do what he really wanted to do in your life, but God was keeping you. Here in Exodus, we find the Israelites in Egypt because of Joseph's anointing. But first, Joseph's anointing landed him sold into slavery. Then his anointing caused him to be free. Then his anointing got him thrown into jail. Then his anointing raised him to be the second ruler of Egypt and able to provide for his family and bring everybody over to Egypt where there was a land of plenty. Then here, it's a ruler that's raised up that the Bible says does not know Joseph. And when it says that there was a new leader, this Hebrew word new means there's a whole new regime. This was not the same bloodline. Somebody came and overtook Egypt, and these are the people that did not know Joseph. And if you read the Antiquities of Josephus, he gives us a little more background to what's going on in the Bible, and he begins to talk about how there was a sacred scribe in Egypt that began to tell Pharaoh about somebody who was going to be anointed, that was going to be born, that was going to lead these people away from him. So he sows it in his mind because he felt an anointing coming. So after he tells Pharaoh this, Pharaoh begins to look at the Israelites totally different. And this is when we find ourselves in verse 9 as he gets this information. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply. And it comes to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us, and so get them up out of the land. They were afraid because there was more of them. They were afraid that they would multiply. So they set these afflictions over them so they could keep them from multiplying, so they could really try to kill them. They really wanted to kill them off, not to where they couldn't serve them, but to where they couldn't defeat them. They used some things to kill some of them, not to the point that they couldn't serve them, but that they could not defeat them. But see, this attempt was indirect. They did not call a firing squad. They did not drop a bomb because they knew and they were afraid of the Israelites ever getting into a war mindset. So they had to do some things indirectly to begin to harm them that they don't even understand is war. They were afraid if they saw this was an attack unto death, they would realize what's going on. And too often do the indirect attempts on our life go unnoticed. The devil has our minds so messed up that we overlook everything and we begin to blame God and get mad at him before we even realize what's actually going on. Understand this. If anything you take from this, take from this today. From this day forward, we have to look at everything as a spiritual attack on our purpose and not our happiness. You ain't that important. Neither are your things. Think about this. The devil can't do nothing with that man he took from you or that woman he took from you. The devil, what can he do with the job that he caused you to lose? What does the devil really gain by making you sick? It's that he can't gain anything by it. But he does these things because if he can just get your mind off of ministry, if he can just get you focused on something else, he can keep your anointing from being birthed. Let's flip it over. Because we tend to only think the enemy sends bad. The enemy might send you the finest man or the finest woman. The enemy might send you the best job, because if I can just get your mind off of ministry, it don't matter if I gotta hurt you or if I gotta give it to you, because I'm not worried about what you got or what you don't got. I want that anointing. I want it dead, I want it strong, and I don't want you to affect nobody else. So if I gotta give you more or I gotta take everything, whatever I gotta do, I want that anointing. It's not about us being happy. It's not about that. All he wants is our anointing. Everything that's going on right now in Exodus where we are is happening to kill Moses because of the anointing that's on his life. And this is how you know this really ain't even all about us. Moses wasn't even born yet. But the anointing was present. And the enemy sees the anointing coming from a distance. But he didn't know exactly where it was going to come from. So he said, we're just going to attack everybody because we got to stop this anointing. But in verse 12, it says, the more they afflicted them.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. They multiplied and grew. It really reads, as they afflicted them, they multiplied and grew.
I read a story once about a woman who had this tree in her yard, and the tree was small. A tree wouldn't grow, and she was going to the stores. She was buying all kinds of food, tree food, all kinds of stuff, trying to make the tree grow. She couldn't get the tree to grow. She finally calls a specialist. She calls the specialist, and she says, "What can I do to get this tree to grow?" The specialist says, "Beat it." She says, "Beat it?" He says, "Yes, the tree has no arms or legs. So the tree's defensive mechanism when under attack is to grow."
Wow.
So the more you beat this tree, its defensive mechanism will kick in and it will get bigger. And in verse 12, we see Pharaoh beating the people of God. And the more he beat the people of God, they grew. See, the more the enemy puts you through, the more you're going to be able to endure. Todd Trippett said it best. He said, "Devil, if you only knew what I was going to be after the storm was through, you wouldn't have bothered me." But what blows my mind is this big bad nation, a nation that already conquered another kingdom, are behind the scenes afraid of a people that don't even realize their power. They see the potential, but the people don't. The people don't realize they have the numbers and the capability of overthrowing the people that are oppressing them, and that is where we find ourselves today. The Bible tells us that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world, but we walk around acting like we defeated when the Bible tells us that the devil is already defeated. You see, the devil is looking at us like, "If you only knew the power that you got. But since you don't, I'm going to keep on afflicting you. I'm going to keep on keeping you in bondage. I'm going to keep on hurting you. I'm going to keep you from all your power because you just don't know. You don't realize this." When the Israelites were attempting to go into the promised land the first time, they go and they send the spies. The spies come back and say, "We can't beat these. These people are giants and we are grasshoppers in their sight." But when they finally got into the promised land and had a conversation with Rahab, Rahab told them, "Your terror has fallen upon us. We heard about what your God did for you on the other side. And when we saw you coming towards us, our heart did faint. Neither was there any courage in any man in the city." Hallelujah. Y'all think y'all look like grasshoppers, but we know y'all more powerful than us. When are we going to realize that these attacks are just there to make us feel like we don't have power? But we have more power than the enemy. We have more power than the trials. We have more power than the temptation, the tribulations, whatever the enemy sends through. He knows our power, and that is why he is attempting to murder us. The enemy is afraid of us walking in our anointing, so he creates a bunch of mirages that will make you stay away from it so you won't destroy his kingdom. Everything he does is just a mirage to just make you fearful, to make you move out of position. The Bible tells us that we are steadfast and unmovable, but the Greek word means you cannot be moved by an outside thing, but you can move yourself. So what the enemy does is throw some things at you to make you jump. He throws some things at you and make you jump. Now you're supposed to be standing there, but you're always over here because he just did something that really couldn't hurt you in the first place. But because you didn't understand your power, because you didn't understand who you were, he was here in the house of the Lord, Joash was. He was here in the house of the Lord for 6 years. Now being here in the house of the Lord shows us God's protection during the worst of times. So when we are in these storms that the enemy is throwing at us, if we understand that we are in the Lord, then we will have protection. Now, we got to do what we got to do in it, but we got to stay in the Lord. Now, in the seventh year, he had to come out. They couldn't keep him there. And we all know seven represents rest. When God created in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. He said, "Okay, y'all kept him for 6 years, but now on the seventh, fall back. I got this. Y'all did what y'all supposed to do, but now here come my protection. Bring him out. Bring him out now, because once you bring him out now, I got him. It ain't nothing a failure is going to be able to do." And once they brought him out, they were able to overthrow her and cause him to be king.
Hallelujah.
We are in a seventh day season. We got to stop fighting the enemy in our power and just rest in God. We are not going to be able to fight these attacks in the natural. We are not going to be able to fight these attacks on our own. We can only fight these attacks by resting in God and allowing Him to do this for us. Excuse me, just give me one second. It looks so much more better when I have the cup than that. That just looks real tuggy. So they're trying to kill Moses. This whole thing is because Moses got an anointing on him. And they are trying to kill him before he is even born. But Moses' mom, she realizes where the anointing is. She realizes that the anointing is on her son. So the Bible tells us that she hid him. And during the time that she hid him, you know she nurtured her son. And she prayed over her son. And she talked to God about her son. And the Bible says that when he could no longer be hid, he had to come out. And she created an ark. And she put him in the water. The same water that represented death to everybody else. The same water that kids were thrown in and died in. She put him in that water. And he flowed down that water with his anointing all on him. He flowed down just anointing, just glowing, just shining, just looking like God is all over him. Oh, he's riding down this water looking good. And he gets picked up and took into the house of the very man that was trying to kill him. And he gets in the house and the man can't do nothing to him. If we nurture our anointing and we pray over our anointing and we talk to God over our anointing, there will come a time where you can no longer be hid and you're going to be able to come out. And when you come out, you're going to be able to walk into any storm, into any face of any trial, in the face of any attempted murder on your life. And there ain't going to be nothing that they can do about you. But you gotta nurture your anointing. You got to know that you're living in your anointing. You got to know that you're dwelling in your anointing. You got to know that the anointing is what's going to keep you from it all. Just walk in it. Moses, he grew up in the house of the same man trying to kill him. Man looking at him every day just mad. Man looking at him every day just mad. If you read Josephus, he talks about it in more detail. How Pharaoh just despised him, but he couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. There's going to come a time when we can come out. Now is that time. Now is that time for us to walk into our anointing, to walk into our calling, and not be afraid of anything. It's time for us to walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil. Hallelujah. It's time for us to forget the enemy. It's time for us to stop being scared to be proud about Jesus. Yeah. It's time for us to stop being scared to say, yes, I am anointed. Yes, I am a child of the King. Yes, I am a peculiar people, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. Yes, I am all of that. Yes, I am a child of the Most High God. Yes, Jesus is my Savior. It's time. See, when we begin to just do that, that will begin to break the yoke off some people all in itself. Because the gospel right there, once the gospel is preached, the Bible says that miracles will follow. But we got to preach the gospel first. If we just stop being scared. The anointing is on you. Talk about the God that you serve. Talk about your Lord that hung on the cross for you and took your sins into the grave, but then got back up with all powers in his hands. Talk about your Savior that the Bible tells us when he ascended into heaven, he led captivity captive, but he gave gifts to men. Talk about your God. It's time for us to stand up and be bold for Christ. This is how we are going to break the yoke that is on this generation right now today. Because so many of the people are looking at the people of God and like, well, why should I serve them? They don't even look confident. It's time for us to stand up in our anointing. What are you anointed to do? What has God been speaking to you about? What has God showed you? What kind of vision is it that God has for you, that he has showed you? What is it that when you go to sleep at night, you just think about, you dream about, you wake up thinking about it, but then you start saying, there's no way I can do it. That thing right there, God is saying to you today, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. If I gave you a vision, you're going to be able to do that. What is it? What is that anointing that's on your life? How can we nurture that anointing? What can I do to help? You can call me. You can talk to me. What is it? What is it? It's a new anointing on this generation. And we got to take back our city. We got to take back our state. We got to take back this world. The world is the Lord. And the fullness thereof and all of them that dwell within it. But we keep acting like we don't belong. What is your anointing? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of your anointing. Don't be afraid of where your anointing is calling you to go. New generation. New anointing. What God has called you to do is new. Understand this. Get the concept of ministry as we used to know it out of your mind. Because too often do we feel like what is inside me to do, if it does not show up in the Sunday bulletin for ministry, that it's not ministry. And if I'm not a preacher, I'm not a deacon, I'm not an usher, I'm not a trustee, I'm not on hospitality, I'm not on anything that has ministry at the end, then I'm not in ministry. This is a new generation. It's a new anointing. That means it's going to be new ministry. You ain't got to have a new name. Jesus' ministry ain't have no name. This is new. What is inside of you to do is new. I feel it. I feel it in this place. It's something inside of each and every one of you to do. It's anointing in you. It's new. Don't be scared to step out. Don't be scared to start something that's different. Don't be scared to Instagram about Jesus. Don't be scared to tweet about Jesus. Don't be scared to put Jesus as your Facebook, as your profile picture, as your avatar. Don't you be scared. Don't be scared. It's new. Yeah, we evangelize via social networks now. It's new. My brother back then, Pastor Barron, he told me, stop spamming on Facebook. I said, man, I'm promoting Jesus like party promoters promote a party. It's something new. I'm going to do this different. I'm going to do this different. And no matter what nobody looks at me, how they look at me, what they feel, people say, you crazy for leaving your job. Well, that's what God told me to do. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something new. I'm going to let him take care of me. I'm going to let him provide. He's my provider. What is God calling for you to do? I need you to think about that on tonight. What is it that God is calling you to do, and why are you scared to do it? What is keeping you? What is keeping you from walking in it? I'm telling you now, if God gives you the vision, it's cliche, but he will give you the provision. He will send you the people. I actually started to do something ministry over almost a year ago by myself. I was killing myself, trying to do everything. I said, God, send me a team. Now I got a team of about 32. Hey. Of people who can do things I can't do. And I'm fine with it. I'm going to let you stick in your lane. Except the singers, I want to sing. I've been anointing my throat. Pastor told me last week I hit a new. He said I found a song that fit my key. Thank you. Thank you for that. Oh shoot. That lets y'all know even when something happens, I don't cuss. This is empty. Something random can't happen to draw me out of character. I find a teaching moment in everything in life. The key to this tonight is there's something new in you. And the enemy is trying to keep it out of you. He's trying to keep you from walking in it. But DSM is here to bring it out of you. Can we all please stand? This vision that you see, this power of these attacks, these visions can only be brought into fruition if you're connected to the one who gave you the vision. These attacks will only have purpose if you're connected to the one who gave it purpose. You will only be able to have comfort in the midst of everything's going on if you are connected to the Comforter. So right now, we want to extend that invitation to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If there's anybody here that does not know Him in the pardon of your sins, has not accepted Him into your life, hallelujah, come on and accept Him. This is the best decision you could ever make. I'm telling you, this can change your life. This will change your life. It has changed my life. I'm not perfect, but I'm better than I was yesterday. A whole lot better than I was a year ago. And I'm surely a whole lot better than I was 10 years ago because of God. If there's anybody that wants to accept Him, please, please, please. Hallelujah. Come on down and accept Him. Hallelujah.